Hoskins, your radio host and guide weekday mornings, thanking you for tuning in. We bring you Democracy Now! Monday through Friday at 8 a.m. without commercial interruption, thanks to listeners just like you. You can go online and become a sustaining member at Buddy, that's buddy.wbai.org, and make a contribution there, or call our pledge line at 833-922-4692, 833-922-4692. Coming up at 10 o'clock will be Minefield with Dr. James McIntosh and Dr. Richardina McIntosh. But right now at 9 a.m., stay tuned for Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall.
Baby, you understand me now. If sometimes you see that I'm mad, don't you know no one alive can always be an angel? When everything goes wrong, you see some bad. But I'm just a soul whose intentions are good. Oh Lord, please don't let me be misunderstood. You know, sometimes, baby, I'm so carefree, with a joy that's hard to hide. And then sometimes again it seems that all I have is worry. And then you're bound to see my other side. More than my share, but that's one thing I never mean to do, 'cause I love you. Oh, baby, I'm just human.
This is Gloria J. Brown Marshall and Law of the Land. Here we are, another day, another time, another moment in time. And I have to say, a lot has happened as we near the end of this year. And we're going to call it the end of this era. I'm going to say it's the end of an era. And in 2025, we'll begin a new era. We've come to the end of the first quarter of this century, this new 21st century. And so far, it's been an ebb and flow with jolts to the mind, to the morals. And yet, we're awake, we're alive, we're breathing, and we're able to do something. And as long as we're able to do something, we can move forward. Dispirited by a number of things, for example, Jordan Neely, who was strangled, murdered in front of all of those witnesses, murdered by Daniel Penny, who's 24, Jordan Neely, 30, African-American, Daniel Penny, 24, former Marine, white, and an all-white jury decided there was nothing wrong with what he did, even though the passengers he claimed to be helping by subduing Jordan Neely told him to stop. That it was enough. It was enough. But I do believe, Daniel Penny had a PTSD moment, and went into some type of training trance, And he saw this black man as the enemy and took his life. I believe that should have been the argument that the prosecutors should have made. I believe that D.A. Bragg should not have called for the dismissal of the higher charges and instead gotten a hung jury, a white jury, all-white jury in New York City. How is that even possible to have an all-white jury in New York City? Where are we? What time is this? So when all of you who decided you wanted to make America back to the 1940s and 50s, well, it's smacking you in the face. And we haven't even had the inauguration yet. And it's right here as we have these limping people, limping morally, I should say, with all types of different allegations against them, becoming the leaders. Of course, if you have a gang of an immoral person, you know, then these people who are immoral in the gang, it seems to be that's the right of membership, then of course they would have to have something wrong with them morally. And then, of course, the evangelicals, or evil evangelicals, you might want to call them, who decided that they wanted to call this man the second coming. And because we're on a clean show, I'll leave that alone. But here's the thing that really gets me about the whole idea. Luigi Mangione, the 26-year-old who is accused of assassinating Brian Thompson, the CEO of United Healthcare, what gets me about that is that, for one, this is called an assassination. And so we have a lynching of Jordan Neely that should have been called an assassination, because that's what it is. Because these people in the military are trained to kill. And that's what Daniel Penny did. He did what his training told him to do, kill the enemy. And then you have all of these people saying, yes, that was, he did a justice. He did justice. He didn't want to do it. He had to do it to save the people. Maybe he has a God complex in which he felt he needed to save the people by killing this man. And maybe that white jury felt that he needed to save the people by killing that black man. But I'm going to say we're opening up a box here of what America has been. And that's why we have over 4,000 people lynched in this country, some of them burned alive. We use violence in this country. We've been using it for hundreds of years. But we usually use it in such ways that are so heinous. And then we have this assassination here, but justification of the killing there. All of these things have taken place. Would you tell me where, outside of Emmett Till and that rigged court practice that we had of having an all-white jury find the two white men who killed Emmett Till back in 1955 not guilty, and then have those two same white defendants give an interview in which they talk very freely about how and why they killed him, because they know they knew at the time that double jeopardy would prevent them from being tried again for that particular crime. So this is our criminal injustice system. And I'm saying all this as we lead into the interview that I did with Manuel Gomez. And after this musical break, we're going to talk about our criminal injustice system. There are allegations here, and I say allegations. The allegations against judges in Rockland County. That's where we are, Rockland County, with this case of Manuel Gomez. Allegations of corruption against two judges, allegations against attorneys in Rockland County. This is going to be the full interview with him after this musical break. Once again, our broken criminal injustice system in the limelight after this musical break.
This is Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Moore. Marshall on WBAI 99.5 FM, WBAI.org, and check out the podcast, Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall on Spotify, Audible, and all those great places online. I'm here with someone I have to call a friend as well as a superhero, and you know him as Manuel Gomez, who Black Ops has private eye, the former NYPD, the guy who was the Marine I'm talking about. He's all that and a big bag of chips. He has been on this program for years. We met actually at Sundance years ago when he was one of the stars in the film that has now won many awards, Crime and Punishment. But since that time, he has not only been somebody who's been investigating wrongdoing when it comes to the police departments here and around the country, as well as investigating missing children. Here is a combination. He has told us about corrupt judges. And now we have children, family court, corrupt judges, a RICO case. It's all here together. Welcome, my brother, Manuel.
Thank you. And thank you for having me on. It's always an honor and a pleasure to be on such a show that cares about people's rights and exposes injustice and empowers people. Thank you for having me on Law of the Land.
Thank you for always sharing us on this journey. And we say prayerfully, may you be surrounded by all the angels necessary to keep you in excellent health and protected.
God bless you. Thank you.
This case, Jimenez Fogarty versus not just lawyers, but judges in Rockland County. How did this case come to you? And it involves RICO and judges taking bribes. This is so complex. So let's kind of break it down. How did you first come to be a part of this case?
Well, Cy Malena Fogarty called me up and said, I think my husband's playing me dirty. Can you investigate him? So I went out and thought, you know, it was going to be a regular case, not knowing I was going to be walking into a John Grisham novel. So long story short, I get to this house. It wasn't a house. It was a mansion. And I realized that, you know, Cy Malena is not just a regular person. She's worth about $500 million. So I go up and I interview her and start following the husband and realize that the husband is sleeping around with multiple women. So the more I looked into this, and the husband got wind that somebody was investigating him, he made up false allegations on the mom that she hit one of the kids when she never did, and had her removed from her mansion with her friends, his friends from the police department. Now, let me explain something. This guy has a company worth $1 billion, okay? And they're the largest concrete company in the tri-state. That means in New York, New Jersey, and Connecticut, and now they've gone national. They build skyscrapers and super stadiums like Yankee Stadium and so forth. So he donates money to the police departments and all these other locations. So he has friends there that he donates money to, and they remove her from her house.
Now, who started
without any investigation?
But who started this company? Who started this company?
His wife did. She was an American citizen, and Mr. Fogarty Thomas was from Ireland and was not. He actually, at the ending of my investigation, realizes that he only married her to get a green card and get
papers. Allegedly.
Yes, allegedly. And allegedly, after that reason, he steals her company, which this is part of the case now, because he literally takes all the money from what this woman invested to start this billion-dollar company and left her now poor to the point where she was going to a food pantry to get food and couldn't even pay her light. I actually had to do groceries for a few times to help her out. You know, and that's how bad it got. But now the tables have turned. I've stuck it out with her for the past 2 years, and I was able to bring her justice. It's a slow wheel, Gloria, a very slow wheel. And the corruption in Rockland County is like a refined wine. It's just, it's so perfected over there. It's normalized. okay? And these judges act outside the scope. As a matter of fact, when I went there one time, I said, you know, I'm here to serve papers. And they says, who are you? And I says, well, I'm working on behalf of the court. And they says, well, we're not taking it. I said, this is America. You have to take it. And they said, no, this is Rockland County. We answer to ourselves. That's what I was told by the clerk over there.
The court
and
clerk.
I was there. Yes.
In Rockland County. Now,
and I was filming it too.
I want to let people know, let our listeners know, that we are discussing a case that has been filed in court. These are not allegations that are being taken lightly, because the federal government is a part of this case.
Absolutely.
And this is a case, you can look at the court file. It's been filed in the Southern District of New York, and it's Jimenez-Fogarty versus Thomas Fogarty, Lisa Ziderman, Ashley Kirsting, Nicole DiGiacomo, Judge Sherry Eisenpress, and Judge Thomas Zugabe, and Laura Marino. Now, let's break this down. Who are these people? Who is Thomas Fogarty, the husband?
Thomas Fogarty is the husband. And then the next person you have on there, I think you said...
is Lisa Ziderman.
She's one of the husband's lawyers, and she's also one of the senior partners of Miller Ziderman. It's a very powerful law firm in White Plains and Rockland County.
How about Ashley Kirsting?
She is one of the other lawyer partners with Lisa Ziderman, and she's also one of the lawyers sleeping with Judge Sherry Eisenpress.
Allegedly.
Oh, allegedly.
And what about Nicole DiGiacomo?
Nicole DiGiacomo, she is the children's attorney who's supposed to be non-biased and neutral, but throughout this whole case, she's also friends with Miller Ziderman and Ashley Kirsten. So they're all connected together, and that's what the point in this case is showing, that connection of them.
And at the hub of this is Judge Sherry Eisenpress.
She was the initial judge on this case, and she has already been now found acted in neglect of her duties as a judge, and has now been demoted and is being transferred to now Orange County from Rockland County, and she's being censured as well. I just found that out from the Judicial Misconduct Committee, and she will be moved as of January, this January.
And Thomas Zugabe, and he's a judge as well.
He's the friend of Judge Sherry Eisenpress, who is a Rockland County judge as well. And he took over for her when she entered the case. And he's also up on RICO charges. He has 4 complaints on him in 4 levels of government. He's a defendant in 4 different complaints.
Wow. And then the last one, Laura Marino.
Well, she was allegedly supposed to be the children's nanny, but in my investigation, I proved that she is Thomas Fogarty's mistress. But she's not the only mistress. He also has another one besides her.
And these are the defendants. So we want to understand. We all want to understand. What I am looking at right now is the actual emergency verified complaint filed in this case, and these people we have just named are the defendants in this case. And this is a RICO case that involves racketeering, Racketeer Influence and Corrupt Organization Act. That's RICO, R-I-C-O. And these are federal criminal allegations against a system, Cash for Kids. Tell us about that.
Yep. Well, that's the problem. See, this case has so much money that the husband has been able to make donations through the judges and the attorneys and the children's attorney and to the supervisors who do the supervised visitation rights. He's literally been able to pay everybody off to keep the kids. Okay? And the sad thing is the kids have been found with injuries, black eyes, bruises. Ms. Jimenez is of Dominican descent. She's an American Dominican, but she's a woman of color. And we've got recordings of him calling his children niggers and all other disparaging words as well. This is nothing but a case based on corruption, racism, and bribery. And the problem is this money, cash for kids scheme is normalized in Rockland County. This is not the only case I have like this. There's two other ones that I have as well, except this one has hit now on NBC News. This one has been in numerous articles throughout the papers. And now this is the first time, Gloria, where I got two judges in Rockland County simultaneously brought up on RICO charges in Manhattan in Southern District Court. And finally, Gloria, I got a judge that wants to hear the case. They tried to stop the case from going public, Gloria, but now Judge Jennifer Rochon in Southern District Court has said, no, this case will be public. The public needs to know this case in the interest of justice. That is a direct quote from her letter to the attorneys and Ms. Jimenez saying this case is going to be public. So thank God I finally got a judge, because to be honest with you, getting a judge up on charges is almost like winning lotto. And it's almost impossible. But I fought hard, and in this past 2 years, I've got them up, both of them, on four separate charges in four different departments. I got them up on the Judicial Misconduct Committee on charges. And Sherry Eisenpress was already found guilty, and they held a hearing there. I got Judge Thomas Zuckerby on judicial misconduct charges, which now they're going to hold the hearing for him. Then I got Sherry Eisenpress, the judge, and Judge Thomas Zuckerby up on the Human Rights Commission, and they both found them violating Ms. Jimenez's rights. So now there's a complaint on them that they're being sued as well there. And now I got them up on RICO charges. And then we reported them to the Department of Justice on criminal charges. So they have four different complaints on four different levels of government, these judges. And here's the crazy thing. The judge still wants to be on the case, saying that he can be non-biased.
And this is Zuckerby.
Yes.
Well,
so now
I want to go back to two things, because when you talked about the violation and judicial misconduct, we're talking about, because Eisenpress was actually allegedly taking bribes from Fogarty. Tell us more about that.
So what happened was, judges, they'll run for office like a congressman does, or a council member or state senator, and they'll hold fundraisers, okay? The problem in this case was, during the trial proceeding, Thomas Fogarty's lawyers, Ashley Kirsten and Lisa Zideman, held a fundraising event at their home for Judge Sherry Eisenpress. Now, let me say that again. They held this fundraiser to raise money for the judge while they were having a case in front of the judge. That's illegal. And then they donated money to the judge and wrote checks. But here's where it gets even crazier. This judge is so arrogant, Judge Sherry Eisenpress, that she turned around and sent the invites from her computer, inviting everybody to Thomas Fogarty's lawyer's house to donate money to her. Now, the minute she took more than $2,500, she's off the case by law. There's a law stating how much you can donate a judge. And then if a judge takes a maximum of $2,500 from you in a donation, that judge cannot hear a case in front of you for a minimum of 2 years. That is state law anywhere in New York State. And then when you go to other states, it's the same law in about 80% of the country. The problem is, the next day after she got her money, she ruled in the husband's favor. And then she did it without having a hearing, without seeing the evidence. She just signed off. Here, take the kids, take everything. Leave her financially indigent.
Now,
and that's what happened.
So this is what I'm concerned about as well. How did the money go from Fogarty to the judge? Or was it just from Fogarty's attorneys to the judge, Eisenpress?
They all wrote checks to her. But you know what? As an investigator, it's a small world, Gloria. I got copies of the checks.
Wow.
That's exactly what the Judicial Misconduct Committee said. I said, yes, when you see me, you lost. Okay? And I got the checks proving 100% that wasn't a donation, Gloria. That was bribery. Okay? When that judge accepted that check, she was not the judge anymore in that case by law. But the next day, she held a hearing, and she didn't even hold it. She just walked in, signed the papers, gave the husband everything.
The next day after the fundraising party.
Yep, after she got the checks. And then here's the funny thing. They're so arrogant, they even took pictures. But it's a small world, because you never knew who I knew what was at that party. And guess what? I got the pictures. And I gave that to the Judicial Misconduct Committee. But on top of that, the judge was showing her and Thomas Fogarty's lawyer on vacation together, going away together, doing things, all intimate stuff. And I said, wait a minute. The fact that she had a relationship with her husband, with Ms. Jimenez's husband's lawyer, the judge wasn't supposed to take this case. She should have recused herself right from the beginning, but she never did. And then I started looking to it. Is this the first time this judge did this? No. Judge Sherry Eisenpress, you can Google her. She was investigated by the FBI for doing the same thing. Except the FBI only smacked her on the hand. Well, me, I plan to just slap her with handcuffs, because that's what this case is going to do. She's up on RICO charges, and this can equal jail time. And this is in Southern District. And I served the papers on Judge Sherry Eisenpress and Thomas Zuckerby and all the individuals as we spoke to on November 15, 2024. That wasn't just a couple of weeks ago. And you should have seen their faces. And I told the judges, hey, you're coming to Manhattan. You don't need the robe.
So tell me this. When you serve the judges, how did you go about reaching them to serve them?
Well, I got the papers from Southern District, which is the higher court. Okay. And I went down to Rockland County. And
which is state court.
And I went down there to serve the judges, and they stopped me. They wouldn't let me in the judge chambers to go in there and serve the judges. So I had to go to the next level, which is the judge's clerk, chief clerk. When I went in there and showed them the paperwork that I had and the charges against these judges, because it was a 154-page document showing all the charges and allegations against the judge. And then there was 326 pages of evidence and video and color pictures showing the judge's corruption. So I went with that, and they looked at it and they said, we're not accepting this. Go to the state attorney general. And I said, wait a minute. You're the lower court. I'm here on behalf of the higher court. You are accepting this. So either they're getting served in their house, or I'm going back in that courtroom and drop the papers on them there. But they're getting served today. And they were like, no. So I took the papers, rolled them up, stuck them through a bulletproof glass. There was like a small hole. And I rolled all 500 pages up and stuck it through. And I said, you're served. And I says, and you better serve the judge, because I'm filming you. Well, Gloria, when I did that, they ran out and they said, oh, you're filming us. You have no authority. Who the hell do you think you are? And I said, New York State Criminal Procedure Law 700.01. Let me say that again. New York State Criminal Procedure Law 700.01 on the eavesdropping means that anybody in New York State can record somebody one-on-one without them knowing It's legal. It's called, we are a one-party state. But as a private investigator, it's legal for me all day long. So I recorded them. And they even tried to get me arrested for walking out with the recording. That's how corrupt Rockland County is.
What did they do? Now, the police came after you?
Yeah. He screamed to them, he recorded me. Stop him. Stop him. So when I quickly opened the door, stepped outside. Now I'm in the street. We're not in the courthouse. And I told him, gentlemen, I just want to let you know I have no gun on me. Okay. And I'm here acting on behalf of the court, the higher court. I just served them corrupt papers on two corrupt judges. I sent them court papers showing the corruption of these two judges who you know. So now if you come at me under criminal procedure law 35.15, I will defend myself. And I only have to ask all you gentlemen one question. Does everybody have health insurance? Because I'm going to hurt you. You know, Mike, and just to give you a little background, my background is a military intelligence officer with the 7th Special Forces. So I'm very proficient in using my hands. So I don't need the gun to hurt them. And I told them, I said, listen, you guys decide. Because at the end of the day, you're going to be in the hospital and I'm going to be having a lawsuit buying myself a brand new Hummer. So what are you going to do? And they walked out and said, never come back to Rockland County. And I says, keep your corrupt judges off the bench and I won't come back. So now I left. But the problem is that this case has opened up Pandora's box. This is the first time in New York City history that you have two judges back to back on the same case being indicted for, well, not indicted yet, in the process of it, of being in court for these type of charges, which can get them anywhere between 15 to 20 years in jail.
If, you know, so often when it comes to corrupt judges, corrupt prosecutors, it's so often that just the idea that their names are in the newspaper or on media is supposed to be punishment enough. You rarely have ever see any judges going to prison. They just think, oh, if we just embarrass them in public, that sends a message that that's bad enough. Now, some politicians, every now and then, some politicians have gone to prison, but it seems very rare that a judge actually serves time.
Well, that's the problem, because we have no laws in place. There's no guardrails to stop a judge and remove him. For example, in New York State, a judge can violate your rights, not obey the law, be corrupt on the bench multiple times, and guess what happens to them? Nothing.
Nothing. And the same with prosecutors. I mean, the Supreme Court has called out cases where prosecutors have acted in discriminatory ways in which they have caused people to lose decades of their lives behind bars unconstitutionally. And the prosecutor doesn't get fired. The prosecutor doesn't lose their pension. They go on to even stay in their jobs. And this corruption is what we see so often. And I know I have friends who are prosecutors and they're going to say, yeah, that's a small group. That's a powerful group. And if just like if cops don't tell on cops and prosecutors don't tell on prosecutors, why should we, the general party out here in the world, a regular person, trust the system? When it's shown so many times that the people who are corrupt are not being pulled out of the system, they're not even losing their jobs, let alone going to prison after causing so much harm to other people.
Well, you know what? And you hit the nail right on the head. Again, in other words, you just said real eloquently, there is no justice and there will be no peace because we don't have a law in place. So me working on this case for the past 2 years, I've written legislation called the Truthfulness and Decision Act, which you can see on my website, Black Ops for Investigators, that I'm pushing to bring about accountability, to take away a judge's immunity. Nobody should be immune in this country from corruption, not a judge or a prosecutor. But the problem is we're having these self-governing departments. And let me say that again, self-governing agencies. And when you have a self-governing agency, that breeds corruption. Gloria, how can a judge correct himself, judge himself, investigate himself, and then try himself and punish himself? It's impossible. But that's what's going on now. And that's what I'm fighting against. It violates the very tenet of democracy. It violates the fabric of our Constitution. Our system of America is based on one thing, checks and balances. The executive branch checks the legislative branch, and the legislative branch checks the judicial branch. That's how our country is to make sure the other guy is doing the right thing, checking the other guy. There's nobody checking these guys. That's the problem. And this, and look, you said it perfect about the prosecutors. Famous case everybody knows about, Central Park 4. Remember that? The guys who accused of rape?
Yes, the five. Yes, and the what five. But what I'm also concerned about is now when we're talking about Rockland County, that's what we're discussing right now. Yeah. For those of you who started listening in on, I'm here with Manuel Gomez, who is a private investigator. His entity is Black Ops Private Investigator, and he is a person with a military background, with an NYPD background. I mean, he has some of the highest forms that we can speak of, but he's on our side. This is what's so unique about the situation. And one of the reasons why I like having you on my show, I embrace you as a superhero, because there are so many people on the other side with all of these resources. To finally have this on the side of the little guy, the regular person, somebody who has the insights, the intel, you know, to actually navigate these systems. People come to me sometimes as a lawyer, as a writer, as a professor, and I have a certain level of intel for what I do, but I have nothing close to, nor do I know anyone else but you who can tell us how these other systems work. And for you to actually be there in the midst of it and see the snakes that call themselves judges, the lowlifes who call themselves prosecutors, and just consider if these are the people we're seeing in this one case, how many Black people, how many Latinos, how many poor whites, how many poor people generally have been messed over by these snakes are sitting in prison right now because of the corruption? These are just two judges. Can you imagine? They're not just two corrupt judges. How many other judges are corrupt in Rockland County for these two judges to show the arrogance that you've talked about?
And you see, and that's another thing, and I'm glad you brought that up, because just to take you even one step further, Judge Thomas Zuckerbee has already been found guilty of biasness and so forth, and had to settle out of court for $300,000. So we had a judge who's already been found guilty of this, and then had to settle, was sued. And that in itself was like winning the lotto. They still keep him on the bench. How do we still keep doing this? And this is why I want to tell you people on Law of the Land, I hope you have a pen and paper. I hope you're writing down the information that Gloria and I are giving you, because there's ways to know what cases to cite. And like one of the ones, I had to do my homework real hard. So I'm going to give you the information where you don't have to do the homework. We're doing it for you, because Law of the Land empowers you. So the case of Caperton, Caperton, versus A.T. Macy Coal Company is a case that I used that the United States Supreme Court in 2009 ruled in favor, saying that a judge must recuse himself when he's involved in corrupt activities or that there is clear biasness. All right. Or the judicial process is at stake. So that means all you people out there where your judge is not being fair, all you people out there where the judge is not letting the evidence in to prove you innocent, you can cite this case in your complaint. And this is law showing that that judge has to remove himself. So if the judge doesn't, now you can file an appeal. And then since you cited this law to the judge and the judge doesn't adhere to it, you got him. Now you win. You win that appeal. That's a step closer to win it because you're showing the laws. The most powerful thing, you know, Malcolm X said it, knowledge is power. And one of the things that made me extremely powerful is the knowledge of learning how to research like an attorney to fight these cases, because there is very few private investigators in the states that will go up against a judge, because it really means the end of our career. And there are very few private investigators in the states that go up against the police department, because most of us work with the police department. I'm one of the few that doesn't. All right. I work around the law to get the people justice. And so I'm considered the rogue investigator of America for that reason. And I don't mind that, because to me, that's a badge of honor. But I want you people to know that if you need help, contact the Law of the Land or contact me, 347-867-6242. Again, 347-867-6242. And I will show you how to use these different case laws. Like another one, and I'll give you this one more. People versus Alomar, A-L-O-M-A-R. Again, Court of Appeals put, all right, that the public trust is important, that a judge must be fair and impartial. In this case, they ruled that the judgment wasn't fair and impartial and the judge was biased. So in this Jimenez case, we cited these two pieces of law. So now we're serving the judge today his vacate motion, Gloria. So you're getting it first. You're getting in the next 3 hours, the judge, this document is getting uploaded. And the judge is going to be ordered to remove. So now he has to remove himself. Judge Thomas Zuckerbee has to step down. And if he doesn't, with all these four different charges against him, and he's a defendant in four cases, how can he be non-biased in the Jimenez case? He is a defendant. But he still wants to stay on, except now I got his back against the wall because I got all these federal laws citing how he has to step down. If he doesn't, this is the first time I get to say this. It is 100% guaranteed that we win the appeal and the judge is forced out because I have too much evidence, 326 pages of it and color photos and check stubs. So, like I like to say, check me.
Well, you know what? And I just have trust issues. You know, sorry, after 400 years of history, I still have a sense that no matter what we might see, and given the fact of what we're going to have over the next 4 years in this country, I just have qualms about what we have in our criminal injustice system. So I want very much for this to be the case. But think about it. Think about what you had to present, almost 500 pages yes. of corruption just to yes. have this one step forward for a judge to have to step down and recuse themselves from one case. Look what we have to do to get justice. And like I said, I have friends who are prosecutors. I know people who are police officers. I'm just saying, what is it that you want the general public to actually believe when you know yourself, judges, prosecutors, police officers, of the corruption that's around you? Why should we believe in a system when you know, yes, you could be the good guy, you could be the good gal, but there's so many other bad apples, but you still want us to trust in the whole system? So the criminal justice system, including our judges, this is the slavery system of the 21st century. This is the Jim Crow of the 21st century. This is what we have to have federal legislation on, not just county by county, city by city. There has to be federal legislation like we have with the Voting Rights Act, with the Fair Housing Act, with the Civil Rights Act. We've got to do something to go into this criminal injustice system and just clean it up. Give us some protections like we had with the pre-clearance clause of the Voting Rights Act. Because right now, we are too vulnerable walking into a court with what should be a constitution that now we see that the incoming president of the United States doesn't even respect. We have fewer rights now than we had 50 years ago. So I'm afraid. And sometimes I have to say this. I'm afraid that we have a system that has become so monstrous that it might take, you know, violence for it to change. And that's what I'm afraid of, because the little people are not going to just keep sitting back being used as fodder in these corrupt political systems, fodder for Wall Street private enterprises that are making money on the New York Stock Exchange by having private prisons. My concern is we need to multiply you by a thousandfold. Wow. In order for us to feel even the slightest bit of security in this system.
Well, you know, Martin Luther King, and I like to quote him, one of his famous quotes said, demonstration to legislation. Okay? We need to have legislative work put forward. And people, you can't go rely on the Congress members and these senators to do it, because nobody wants to touch this Pandora's box because they're so powerful, these judges. But it's up to us to write laws. You can write it. It's your First Amendment right. And we, Gloria and I have spoken about it 100 times on Law of the Land. You can write the law. You can write a bill. All right. It's your First Amendment right to petition the government to correct injustices. And if you don't know how to do it, you can go to New York Public Library like I did, and it'll show you how to do it. And if you don't want to do that, call me and I'll show you how to write a bill. Or go on my website. We have to have this, because like Gloria said, you know, it's going to be violence eventually. And remember, Gloria, this country is built on what? This country is built on treason. When the forefathers who signed the Declaration of the Independence, they lifted their glasses and raised and said, we toast to treason, because they knew signing that constitutional document, they were all terrorists by England.
Well, in my new book, A Protest History of the United States, comes out in April. And yeah, as I begin it and I say, the Declaration of Independence is a protest document. And mm-hmm. we've got to figure out ways to protest this criminal injustice system. And in these last seconds, I want to say thank you so much, Manuel Gomez. We've been talking about a Rockland County RICO case involving two judges, involving lawyers and corruption. The children are now pawns in a game of corruption. These children in a custody battle and a divorce, pawns in a game of corruption. I thank you so much for bringing this case to our attention. I thank you for everything you do, Manuel Gomez. And once again, we send out all positive energy and prayers for your protection and to order your steps to do and continue to do good for people. Thank you so much.
And I thank you, and I thank Law of the Land for having us on.
And that was my interview with Manuel Gomez, who has been working on this case and many other cases. He's been a part of Law of the Land for several years. Allegations of corruption in Rockland County against those judges, against the attorneys. That was a civil RICO case that was filed. A civil RICO case. Yes, you probably said, oh, I didn't know you could have a civil RICO case, but yes. And once again, let's make clear, these are allegations of corruption against the judges, against the attorneys, and it will be up to the federal court to decide whether or not there was indeed corruption. There's a great deal of evidence, and as was pointed out, that's evidence that we could actually go to the case and, because it's been filed in federal court, and see for ourselves. I would like to, for a moment, to take into account this system of criminal injustice in which we, the United States, have 5% of the world's population, and we have 25% of the world's incarcerated population. 25%. That means a quarter of all the people incarcerated on this planet are in the United States, this place of liberty, freedom, justice. This is why Law of the Land, I believe, is important, for you to understand that this is the issue of the 21st century, our criminal injustice system. And this radio station is able to bring you this information, because we really try hard, no matter what, to keep you up to date on all the different shows. And Michael G., my engineer, is going to step from behind the curtain and let his voice be heard. Michael G.
Well, I am just thrilled and actually overwhelmed by what I just heard from your conversation with Manuel Gomez. And it's made possible because we have a program like Law of the Land and a radio station like WBAI. Now, you may have noticed, if you're traveling up and down the highways of this city and the state, this tri-state area, that there were no commercials. And it was just the conversation between Gloria, the executive producer, Gloria J. Brown Marshall, and Manuel Gomez. No commercials, because we're listener-sponsored and commercially free. So we need to have you now support this program. I know many of you support the program. Tell Gloria about it. When I see you out and about, you mention this program. So we need you to step forward now, become a BAI buddy, a sustaining member, for as little as $10 a month, whatever is comfortable for you. That's buddy, BUDDY dot WBAI dot org, or call the pledge line right now at 833-922-4692 and say, I want to support Law of the Land on WBAI. That's what I have to say, Gloria. I'm so thrilled to be with you, offering this program and this radio station to the listeners, and hope that they will respond in kind.
And I have friends who are judges. As a matter of fact, one of my mentees is going to rise up and ascend to the bench in January and be sworn in. I have friends who are politicians. I have friends who are prosecutors, defense counsels, and lawyers of all stripes. I teach and have people who are going into policing. My concern is, when you're talking about a system, that's bigger than one person. It's bigger than my friends. We're talking about a system of criminal injustice that has been going on even before the country started. The roots are deep, and it takes a lot for us to unpack this. It takes a lot for us to have people like Manuel Gomez on the program, for us to take the time to actually go through this. If this was another show, that would be a soundbite. That would be maybe 3 or 4 minutes to jam all of that in. I want you to be able to understand what the situation is. I want you to be able to feel the sense of the insecurity. And when I say, and I don't take lightly, that this could come to violence, I think it really could. I mean, we don't have just a black-white system. There are a lot of poor whites who understand, listening to this program in Rockland County right now, who know that they were not given full justice. They know they are not going to receive full justice when they go before the court. It's going to be, if it's between them and somebody with money. This is where we can actually say these things. And I think is important. I also want to go to something that Michael, that you said, and that is that we've been doing this particular show for over 10 years, but WBAI has been doing this work for decades.
That's right, Gloria, for decades. Since 1960, in the center of the FM dial in New York City, that is the prime place as far as FM radio broadcast. And people say, well, you know, it's radio. No, it matters. It really matters. The access to information, and you don't have to say, well, you know what, I got to pay my internet bill today because if not, I won't be able to access. No, you have, just turn your radio. If you don't have radio, you should get one. You absolutely should have one. So the number again is 833-922-4692. Now, if you want to send a check or money order to us, we'll accept that as well. Make it out to WBAI 888 Atlantic Avenue, Brooklyn, New York, 11217. And, you know, we know we have older folks that listen to and depend upon this radio station. And so to you, I am not suggesting, Gloria is not suggesting, we collectively are not suggesting that you send, because I've heard people say this to me, I'm on fixed income and I'll send you. No, we're not asking that. Absolutely not. Why? Because there are so many of us that are working and can make that contribution and not ask our seniors or people on fixed income to make that. Thank you for that call coming in. Matt's going to answer that call right now. 833-922-4692. Gloria, I'm so proud of this program and so proud of the work that you've done outside of WBAI and to be able to work with you on Law of the Land.
You know, what I'd like to do at some point, maybe we could work on this, Michael, is actually put together a soundtrack for Law of the Land, because earlier today, Charles Lloyd and the instrumental Go Down Moses was just a beautiful interplay with what we're doing here. It sets the tone for the show. Mm-hmm. And every show, I try to curate the music to set the tone for the topic that we're dealing with. Mm-hmm. You know, when I'm thinking about what guests, I'm thinking about how we can arrange the issues and doing the research so that I'm up to date on what is going on. Actually going to the Civil RICO complaint to look at it and look at the allegations. These are the things that I try to do. This is what I bring to the table for you, the listener. And in order for me to do this, I have to feel that you care. And I'm not saying that it's only through money that I feel that you care, because I've talked to too many people in the audience, in the street, on the different places where I go. But I do need to have some support for the show so that the radio station itself can go forward. And once again, Michael said 833-922-4692, 833-922-4692. And be my buddy. And that's buddy, BUDDY dot WBAI dot org, BUDDY dot WBAI dot org. And become a supporter of the show, a sustaining supporter. And if you've given already, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I do truly appreciate it. We appreciate it. And Michael and I have been working together for some time now. And so we try really hard to give you the best show possible we can give you. And we appreciate all the support that you give us.
Well, Gloria, we've just about run out of time. We're under the tyranny of the clock, as some Maury Marksman would say. So we have to make our way, prepare for the next program. But it's to you.
Well, Michael, and for all of you listening out there, I look forward to seeing you on the radio.
Fish in the sea, you know how I feel. River running free, you know how I feel. Blossom on the tree, you know how I feel. It's a new dawn, it's a new day, it's a new life for me, and I'm feeling good. Dragonfly out in the sun.
WBAI New York. Gloria J. Brown Marshall is the Emmy Award-winning writer of five books thus far. Her forthcoming book is A Protest History of the United States. That's available on pre-order. Get that book for someone in your family, for yourself as well. We're just about out of time. And I want to tell you that we're extending this membership drive, our fundraising and membership drive, through the end of the year. But don't hesitate. Don't wait. Make that call in support of Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall. 833-922-4692. No one picks up right away. Leave your number and your name, and someone will call you back. It's